Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Stream the show on the new ESPN Chicago app. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now, on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Woo! So, Spider Tack. Carmen brought some in yesterday, the great Carmen DeFalco.
Yes.
I took it to my game last night. Actually tried to just warm up with it. You better understand how to use that stuff. It is so freaking sticky. Mm-hmm. You can't control where the ball goes.
Well, that's the whole thing, though. So if you've got a good breaking ball, which I'm sure you do, Cap, I'm sure that you're going probably a lot more Kyle Hendricks than you are Liam Hendricks, right?
Correct.
So if you're bouncing it in 58 feet or if you're just a breaking ball guy, that spider tech has got to be great for you. Like, you're not going to throw it 100 miles an hour on the black. So if nothing else, boy, you're a great breaking ball pitcher with that extra sticky on it, right?
Yeah, so we were playing, and one of the guys had put some on his hand just to see how sticky it was. I mean, we're not getting people out because we used spider tech. We got pounded last night anyway.
Did you get it? Did you pass that thing around?
I did.
Why did you pass it around?
I didn't pass around the whole team. I just a couple of guys. I said, try this stuff.
Try that.
what you think of it. I want to use it as a bit on the show tomorrow. So a couple guys took it. They tried it. There's a little humpback liner over the pitcher's head. I'm playing deep at second because this guy had played in the big leagues for the Tigers that we were playing against.
Yeah.
And he hit this little liner, and he's a lefty. I'm playing second base. I'm like, oh, God, this guy's going to crush the ball. Just over the pitcher's head, I come running in. I don't want to crash into him. Down he goes trying to catch it. Ball falls, base hit. He comes up, shows me his hand. His hand is covered in grass, and he can't get the grass off because of the spider tech. So funny. We got drilled anyway, but whatever.
I just need to know, did your pitcher ever, I mean, did he use it a little bit?
I don't think he used it to when he was pitching, no. Just playing catch. It's... Look, if you're Garrett Cole and you can throw 98,
yeah,
and then this filthy high spin rate breaking stuff or your four seam fast, that's different than a bunch of guys who are 60 trying to throw, you know, 60 miles an hour.
I want you out there though. I want you using that spider tack. Like, that was a bit from last week, but then you get on the mound, it's just like, here we go, Kaplan the 2-2. Here is strike three. Swing and a miss. Boy, Kaplan's got six. He's cooking. Wow. Here's Rabinowitz.
Wow.
A breaking ball, 1-2. Kaplan's dealing. Kaplan with the wine and the 1-2. Strike three. Wow.
Boy, the movement on his pitches tonight is unreal.
The breaking ball right into the dirt and a swing and a miss. That's 10 for Kaplan.
Yeah, we lost to the White Sox last night. Not good.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
If you were pitching, that wouldn't have happened.
No, we would have lost probably on the slaughter rule.
No, you would have got the sticky stuff. You would have got used to it at some point. Maybe the first day a little bit, but you would have got used to it. I'm thinking just based on what we talked about yesterday, it's not going to encompass the whole hand, but at least on the fingertips, they have a better grip.
Right.
I mean, even Liam Hendricks said, you know what, something should be legislated where you should be able to use some kind of sticky stuff to hold on to the baseball.
Because it's slick.
Yeah.
It is absolutely. And what they should do is MLB should develop their own product.
Ah.
Here's what you're allowed to use. It's not super. Like the spider tack stuff that Carm brought in.
Yeah.
Dude, it is so sticky that I don't know how these guys are able to control it.
Yeah.
Because it's like you could literally, if you put enough on your fingers, you could literally stand there and the ball wouldn't fall out of your hand. Like when it's stuck to Molina's chest protector.
Right.
It's crazy.
That's crazy.
So Major League Baseball, Jeff Passan with the scoop again. They're going to start handing out 10-day suspensions on the 21st. That is next Monday.
With pay.
With pay. There will be... again, all this stuff has to be collectively bargained. So you can't just arbitrarily impose rules on the workplace. So what they've agreed is there'll be 10-day suspensions. Now, it might be with pay, but it could also affect a guy getting a bonus if he misses two starts or, you know, falls a win short of the number he needed to hit his bonus. It could affect him. Certainly his image would be affected if he's suspended for cheating.
Okay, so this is a layered conversation I want to have with you and Cap'n Jay Hood listeners because, all right, so we've always known in baseball that there's always been players, whether it's pitchers, whether it's hitters, there's always trying to take an advantage, right?
Mm-hmm.
You give a player an inch, they will take a mile. That's just exactly what it is in Major League Baseball. But you and I have enjoyed baseball for a long time.
Correct.
However, in our career, we've been able to hear from listeners over, you know, doesn't matter what station, just over the years, that feel like they've been cheated. I'm talking about viewers of the game, people that pay good money to go to the ballpark. They feel like they've been cheated, saying that, hey, you know what? That guy's on steroids. We went through this in the 90s, you and I, where people are taking calls. We're taking calls and people says, you know, I go to the ballpark and I want to see the game pure. I don't like the idea I'm watching steroids. Or in the 80s or the 70s where it's like these players are not playing pure. That's not their natural ability. They're on greenies or they're on pills, like Pete Rose used to say, right?
And that was reality, man. I told you that story. It was like 25 degrees at Wrigley, and I got to do the pregame out on the field. We're doing this whole, and I'm shivering cold.
Right.
And Mark Grace, bless his heart, says, bro, come in and get a cup of coffee. I'm like, we're not allowed in the lunchroom. I'll walk you in there. But get from that pot, not that pot. That one's all beamed up. Yes.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I asked that question. It's, dude, that thing will have your heart racing for a month.
Amphetamines? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Now that stuff's all legislated out of the game.
So we've been through this, right? The illegal bats. Is my bat loaded? Is there Super Balls in my baseball bat?
Sammy had cork in his bat.
I remember that like that was yesterday.
Remember who they played?
I was actually there.
So was I. I was at that game. I was working.
I was at Moody Bible for the NBA draft. If you recall.
For the pre-draft camp?
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's where I was, and I heard about the story, and I raced back to the station.
So Tim McClellan was the home plate umpire. The famous, he's the one that called George Brett out for the pine tar too high on the bat.
Night game at Wrigley Field. Correct. Against
American League.
It was
Tampa?
It was a day game.
Bingo. Tampa. Right?
My guy.
Tampa.
It was a night game against night game. Tampa.
Yeah.
And as soon I was in the press box, Sammy breaks the bat. Tim McClellan goes out to pick the piece up and he looks.
Mm-hmm.
And the bat boy comes to get the bat and he's like, uh-uh. He calls the other umpires over, and he's like, look. And then he points, you're out of here.
Cap, I had great seats that day. I was in section 26, row 8. Okay, these were seasons that we shared with people forever.
Mm-hmm.
It landed right in front of me. The kid sitting next to me turns to his dad and says, what is that? He's pointing at the bat. You can see a dark spot in the bat.
Cork.
And the dad turns to his kid and says, that's cheating, son.
Yeah.
That's exactly correct.
So I guess my point, though, Cap, is that we've seen players be able to take this and take it to another level. So it's like, you know what? I know these guys are doing it right, but I need that extra advantage. Steroids, super bats, loading up my bat, whatever it is, you know, using an emery board on the baseball. I wonder how fans feel about this, though, because there's a foreign substance there, and so many fans feel like, hey, you know what? I just want to see something that's pure, that looks like what I played. And the other side of it is when fans say, well, what do I tell my kid? I want my kid, he's got Sosa on the wall or he's got this picture on the wall. He idolizes these guys. But now we find out that they're cheating. What do I tell my kid? That's all been part of our career.
No question.
And my response usually to that is, well, you know, you're the hero. You should be the hero, not some sports figure. Because your
easier said than done.
Well, your kid knows you. He doesn't know the athlete. But he idolized the athlete because the athlete's on a certain level.
On a pedestal.
Yeah.
Well,
so, you know.
And for people that, because I've gotten some tweets from people, why does someone cork their bat? What does that do for them? So what they do is they hollow out a portion in the bat.
Mm-hmm.
They add cork, which lightens the weight of the bat, but it allows you to have that big bat, the bigger size.
Right.
but it's not as heavy as it should be. So the back goes faster through the zone. And when you're a big, strong man like Sammy Sosa, that speed, that size bat with a lighter weight, that ball goes a long-ass way, man. A long way.
I guess the question is, can fans deal with this, though, knowing that when they're seeing these pitchers, and again, pitchers are a lot different than they were even 10 years ago. The middle relievers were not throwing 100 at all.
Correct.
They're throwing 80s. You know, they're supposed to be the worst players on the roster. Oh, fail starter, fail starter, fail starter, middle reliever. You can't start, you can't close, you're in the middle. You suck, right?
Right.
Or you're just a guy that they call in just for mop-up duty. But those guys are great now. Great.
And they get paid.
Yes. And so I wonder how fans feel knowing that what you've been seeing is a lot of pitchers using foreign substances to try to get outs.
312-332-3776. Does it bother you? Do you care? Now they're going to suspend players. So all of a sudden you go, whoa, my favorite reliever. My team is shorthanded. They're suspending somebody or more for putting sticky stuff on the ball because it allows them to spin the ball at a higher rate. Don't forget, we'll talk baseball with Anthony Rizzo from New York at 9:35 today. Is MLB being too soft on pitchers for using substances on the ball? 10-day suspension? 312-332-3776. Your calls next.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Rolling on, Cap J. Hood at 7:17. Pour a cup of coffee. Have some fun with us each and every morning. And please tell a couple friends. Tune in, Cap and J. Hood.
Absolutely. And make sure that you put a little spider tap in your tea. It's always good.
Spider tack?
Yep.
In the tea?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it gets you stuck on your routine for the day.
Substitute that for honey. Cap says it's a lot healthier, the spider tack,
than
the honey. Yeah.
That's what Carm tweeted at me last night. Just tell them it's honey in there.
Right.
No one will care. 312-332-3776. We'll get to your calls in 1 second. I want everyone to hear this. This is Buster Olney, the MLB insider on sticky stuff.
A memo could be going out to teams as soon as Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday of this week. And at that point, the teams will present the information in the memo to their staffs and to players. And then sometime, maybe a week from now, umpires will be instructed to enforce the rule that's on the books against foreign substances, and they will do checks of pitchers, maybe 8 to 10 a game. But I got to tell you, you know, we've seen this slow rollout of this conversation. In talking with officials in baseball, they would love it if pitchers who are using this clean up on their own. As one source said to me, I love the fact that you're talking about this. I love the fact that you're writing about this, because we don't want to suspend anybody. We want pitchers simply to stop using this stuff.
There you go.
If this was a problem last year, Cap, how come this was not addressed in the offseason?
Because it's been going on forever.
Spider Tack? This is the first time I heard about it was this year.
Yeah, Spider Tack's a fairly new product. But I could tell you back in the 90s when I started playing in this men's league that I'm still in, I had a guy in the locker room walk up to me. Hey, did I hear you say on the radio you're going to play some old man baseball? Yep. Dude, take this. It'll make your curveball spin better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really? He's like, yeah, don't put too much, but put it on your pointer finger and your middle finger and a little on your thumb. And when you snap that thing, you're going to get extra break. Really? Oh, God. Yeah, it's been around forever. As Garrett Cole said, it's been passed down from generation to generation.
I just think that if Major League Baseball had a problem with it, especially in the Rob Manfred era, something would have been done by now, or at least a comment. I find it interesting he hasn't said anything about it at all. Like, this is happening through the bylaws and through people in Major League Baseball, but nothing's being said. If this is the NFL, Roger Goodell, of course, the sheriff of the NFL, would have said something.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I think this is just part of the Manfred era. You don't say anything about this. Like, you want your game to be pure, and of course, your game will never be pure. I mean, look at scandal after scandal, question after question about what's legal and what's not in Major League Baseball, and players taking that extra mile, but nothing from the commissioner. Nothing?
Totally agree.
Nothing?
I'm not a fan of that guy. Not at all. All right, let's go to the phones. Santo is in Downers Grove. What's up, Santo?
Hey, guys. First and foremost, I want to say you guys are the highlight of my morning.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. I got two things. The first one, I just thought of this one when you guys were talking. I don't like the spider tack because if you're making $250 million or whatever, like Garrett Cole or whatever, you should be good enough to where you don't need stuff. That's my opinion with it. And the second one, I think they should also inspect the catchers because I remember, what, 3-4 years ago when the Cubs were playing the Cardinals, that ball just stuck right to Yadier Molina's.
Yep, that's what Hoodie and I were talking about that earlier. Yep, no question.
Okay, I didn't hear you talk about that. I've been waiting all week to try to tell someone, but I think the catchers are a part of it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you, Santo.
The catcher also has to be very good at concealing it. If he sees, we got something on that ball, rub it in the dirt, whatever it is. No question.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks, guys. Have a great morning.
You too.
I'm going to keep listening.
See you, buddy.
Just because we've watched sports for a long time, Cap, whether that's football or basketball, we know that that's not 100% pure what we're watching. I find it fascinating that in the NFL, we don't talk about what players could and could not be taking in the NFL. And the same thing in the NBA, even more so. Like, what we're seeing is natural? Is it?
Not natural.
It's not, but we don't talk about it. Right. I mean, we don't talk about it, though.
Right.
Well, and other sports use sticky stuff, too. Yurko talks about all the time getting stuff sprayed on or sprayed off and how, you know, officials would come to him and be like, hey, get that crap off you.
You're always looking for an advantage of some kind. Always.
Yeah. Especially if you're not caught or if it's something new, right?
Right.
Here's Mark McGwire with Andrew Steen-Dione in his locker. He's like, you know, those are just pretty much it. What do you take, Sammy? Flintstone vitamins.
Correct.
Yeah, you take more than that.
Correct. Both did.
Yeah. But. So, I mean, I think that's just interesting over the years how we look at this as fans. And again, some fans are disenchanted with that, and it's a turnoff for them, but they're still watching. But you have to realize that what you're watching is not you as a natural human being, is a normal human, a normal man or woman just playing sports. They're doing something to get themselves a competitive edge.
Yeah, but if you found out that one of the Bears' defensive linemen, we'll say it's Akeem Hicks.
Sure.
I'm not accusing him. I'm just using him as an example.
Please don't, because he'll call you.
Yeah, exactly. That's who he is.
You just see my DMs.
If you found out that he had some clear, slippery stuff on his jersey and linemen just can't lock onto him, and he keeps getting to the quarterback, but they can't catch him. I mean,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. One day I'm going to share my DMs with you with Akeem Hicks.
I bet those are beautiful.
Oh, what he says about Waddle is unbelievable.
Wow.
I said, you know, Tom was kidding, right, Akeem? Like, you could come back on the station. Oh, expletive, expletive. I'm like, really?
F that.
I was like, you go after America's sweetheart. Really? Of all people, Waddle. Really?
Right. Tommy was kidding with him.
Of course he was.
Back to the phones. Let's go to Joe in Schaumburg. Hey, Joe, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, Cupcake, what's going on, boys?
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, Joe.
Good, guys. Hey, I just wanted to comment on the foreign substance. In my opinion, as long as you're not being blatantly obvious, I think we've all just got to accept it as part of the game. I mean, it's even making its way into pop culture. You watch, you know, Major League, you see the old-time pitcher with all the substances on his chest teaching the guys how to get an advantage. You play video games. You can manipulate the ball as a pitcher. I just think as long as, you know, someone's not just out there showing it on, you know, just on their jersey or whatever, you just got to accept it as part of the game. And the growing up with it, JR made a comment about it being in other sports. I was playing youth football, and I saw the quarterback and center sprain stick them on their hands to you know, not fumble the quarterback center exchange. So I think it's just part of culture. Just got to make sure that you know, you keep it somewhat under control and just not blatantly obvious.
But it doesn't bother you as a fan, though, Joe, over the years, right?
No, unless it's just completely, you know, just way out there. I mean, the previous caller with the Yadier Molina baseball, you know, sticking the chest protector. You saw the Cleveland Indians pitcher with just clearly something in his glove. But, I mean, these guys, if you're going to do it, it's been going on forever. Just got to make it a little less obvious.
Yeah, you were talking about James Karinchak from the Indians, their setup guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well said. Have a good day, Joe.
two, boys. Take it easy.
See you, buddy.
Joe in beautiful Schaumburg was just there this past weekend. Granite City. Great place. Nice little place to have lunch.
Nice.
Oh, it's great. Great. Says, see your server, Shannon. Great
Granite
server.
City in Schaumburg.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Wonderful place. Was just there over the weekend. A little outdoor dining. I said, honey, you don't need the mask. Take the mask off. We're outside.
We're good. And we're both vaccinated.
Right. Exactly. We're fine. So.
Yeah. We went and got Mexican food on Saturday night for my sister-in-law Veronica's birthday.
Yeah.
Lonesome Rose in Logan Square. Sensational.
Yes.
Sensational.
What's that on your chest?
Crisco. Bardol. Vagisil. Any one of them will give you another 2 to 3 inches drop on your curveball.
There you go. That's what baseball is.
I have noticed that about Vagisil, but that was before I was married.
Okay, back to the phones we go. Pete in the South Loop. Hey, Pete, what's up, man?
Hey, well, that's a good time to call in. Thanks for that one, Hoodie.
Yeah, no problem. That's what I'm here for.
Hey, just wondering, what do you guys think about it seems like baseball just can't get out of its own way. They air their dirty laundry in front of everybody that, you know, they make everything public. I get trying to clean up the game, but they take a big entertainment value out of some things. They don't know how to market their young players. They don't know how to market their stars. They don't know how to market themselves or let people use their clips on social media. It just seems like, you know, they're wondering why they can't get through to a younger demographic. To me, it's pretty, you know, it's pretty straightforward.
That's all great points, Pete. All of those are great points. Baseball, as I said before, baseball seems like the I Love Lucy of sports, where you know the I Love Lucy episode when you see it, but again, it's in the past. Baseball is about the past. It's about the numbers. It's about the pageantry of the game. But what about today? All these things, having the foreign substance being is, that should not be the top storyline, Pete. Actually, the top storyline should be Ohtani. You know, it should be that. It should be Mike Trout. And unfortunately, this controversy is the number one item for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, we were at the, appreciate the call, Pete. Thanks, man. Have a good rest of your week. We were at the game. I didn't go to the game on Friday because I was at Yahtzee's for the station doing an appearance. But my wife and three of the kids and wives, they were there. And I said to them at lunch, we're sitting outside eating lunch. And I said, if I had never come in, because they're my stepsons, if I had never come into your lives, do you think you'd still be as big a baseball fan? They looked at me like, dude, we were baseball fans before you came in our lives. And these kids are 27, 29, 31, and they're diehard baseball fans. Now, did they watch every game every night? No, they have lives. You and I, it's what we do. It's part of our fiber. But they go to the games. They pay attention. They know what's going on with the team. So I don't buy that the young generation can't be persuaded to watch the game.
Well, here's the thing. The young generation is busier than even your stepkids were. Mm-hmm. It's a busier generation because there's more things to do.
There is.
I mean, instead of going to the ball game and spending top dollar going to the ball game, you could be going someplace else. You know, walking around in the park is free, right?
Right.
You could do that instead of going to the ball game if you choose to. You could be able to watch in glorious HD in your man cave or your she shed and be able to watch sports. You know why? Because it's free. So there's options there. There's more options today than it was even when your stepkids were growing up watching sports.
312-332-3776. All right. We will get back to your calls. We need the 10th caller. 312-332-3776. You get a chance to win dinner at Lou Malnati's for you and your family. Get in now. We play a game every Tuesday at 7:35. It is called Hoodwinked. You'll enjoy it. It's next.
Kaplan, Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app. All right, Cap and Jay Hood listeners, who's ready for a story? Sit back and relax as Jonathan Hood regales you with tales of frivolity. Did it really happen?
We have been hoodwinked.
Who knows?
Bamboozled, led astray.
Who cares? Be prepared to be
run amok and flat out deceived.
Hoodwinked.
We don't get fooled again.
here's how we do this. We've got a caller. The caller and I will talk privately. We will discuss whether or not we're trying to be hoodwinked by my friend and partner, Jonathan Hood. If we get it right, then the contestant wins dinner at Lou Malnati's. I hand the floor to you, my fine friend.
We say hello to Eric and Elgin, who's our contestant. Hello, Eric.
Eric, good morning. What's up, buddy?
Hey. Good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
You ready to do this?
Absolutely.
Rock and roll.
All right, Eric, here we go. So one of my bosses, one of my program directors was Drew Hayes down the dial.
I know him.
And it's my story. So since I have the floor, you probably should let me have the floor.
Well, at least I know he's alive.
Okay.
He's
that's fine. But it's hoodwinked.
Go ahead.
Good. Thanks. Since it's hoodwinked, I will move forward. Drew Hayes, program director at the other station I used to work for. He says, I like your name. Your name, Jonathan Hood. And he asked me, is that your real name or is that a radio handle? And I said, no, Drew, that's my actual name, Jonathan Hood. And Drew says, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to change your name. Brevity. Something shorter. Something hip. I want to call you Jay Hood. And I said, okay, some of my friends call me Jay Hood. That's fine. He goes, I want your name to be Jay Hood on your radio show. And I said, oh, okay, that's fine. So fast forward 5 months later, we're at Lizzie McNeil's. And Drew's had a couple of pops. I've had a couple of pops, adult beverages, daddy sodas, if you will. And Drew says, this whole Jay Hood thing, where did that come from? I said, Drew, you're the one who said I should be called Jay Hood. All the imaging, like I've been doing the show for 6 or 7 months under this name. You called me. There's no way I would have come up with Jay Hood. I said, well, I don't understand. Like, you told me a few months ago that this is what you wanted, and now you say, no, I didn't call you that. I said, well, what about going back to Jonathan Hood? He goes, well, I don't want it to be Jonathan Hood because Jonathan's my first name. I just go by Drew. Did that really happen?
Wow, I didn't see it taking that turn. Eric, what do you think, man?
That's why we called it Hoodwinked.
You know, back in the day, I know they changed their names a lot to try to get more snazzy, that kind of thing. I think it might be a true story.
So, like, I've only known him. I always call him Jonathan.
Yes.
But I always also will hear him referred to as Jay Hood. But when we've worked on television, it's always been, alongside David Kaplan, I'm Jonathan Hood. He is the voice of whatever game he is doing. Wow. I didn't see it taking the turn to his real name was Jonathan. I could absolutely, knowing Drew, and I don't know him as well as Hoodie does, I could absolutely see Drew Hayes telling him to be Jay Hood. I just don't know if his first name is Jonathan. But again, in this business,
true,
you never know whose name is really their name. I'm kind of betwixt and between here. How you want me to vote?
You know, let's go with the true story.
Jonathan Hood, Jay Hood, Jay Hayes, Jonathan Hayes.
True Hayes.
We are going to say that is a true story.
Eric, that is a true story.
Bam! Way to go, Eric. Nice job, man, because I was thrown.
Eric, what's the station that just hooked you up with Lou Malnati's?
ESPN 1000.
You're the man. Thank you, Eric. Hang on.
Oh, God.
He got it right. Hoodie always gets nervous. Oh, please don't say X.
I never met Drew Hayes before. Does he sound like Gilbert Godfrey?
He does. Yep.
Okay.
He does.
I
like what you do on the air. I want to call you Jay Hood. It's because it's cool. It's hip. Brevity. I said, okay, Drew, whatever, right? And Jay Hood was born. And then he forgot somewhere down the line between Danny Sodas that he actually called me that. Like, Drew, you're the one who came up with that.
But it's worked.
Yeah, it's weird that he forgot. But there's your business right there, my friend.
It is.
I've been doing shows nightly six days a week. And somehow he forgot why I was called Jay Hood.
Well, like our friend Lance McAllister, that's not his name.
That's not right for you to say that.
He said it before.
Yeah, that's not right for you to say, though. I mean, there's some doors should be open and some that should not.
He's in Cincinnati.
Okay. You want to tell everybody Mancow's first name?
I don't know it.
You know it. You want to tell that?
I don't know it.
Okay.
You'll have to tell me at the break.
You want to tell everybody what Eric Ferguson's real name is?
Eric. 312-332-3776.
Nice. You want to tell everybody Lou Jack's first name?
Larry.
Okay. And his real name?
Larry.
Okay.
Let's go to Mark in D.C.
Ron Gleason?
Ron.
It's not.
Ronald. No. Hey, Mark, what's up, man?
How we doing, guys? My first name's Mark, and it hasn't changed, so.
Nice. I know. I mean, Kaplan has, you would think, being in the fraternity or the sorority, the radio business, that he would just keep everything close. No, he just wants to reveal everything. That's not right. That's not for you to say. I don't even know if your name's your real name, quite frankly.
100% real, man.
I don't think so.
I am who I am.
Code is Studley. We're fine.
Right, here we go. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, guys. So, you know, back to Major League Baseball, I would, you know, it was like yesterday. It feels like yesterday we were talking about the balls being juiced because we had hitters hitting balls out of the ballpark left and right. Mm-hmm. And now hitters aren't hitting the balls out of the ballpark as much, and now it's the pitcher's fault. Now we have to investigate the pitchers. I'm sorry, but a few years ago, a team literally cheated their way to a World Series, and no player got any reasonable punishment. And now you want to punish pitchers. Baseball flip-flops more than the politicians.
Well, they couldn't punish players from the Astros team that cheated.
Because they negotiated that they wouldn't be able to be punished. But, I mean, I've never heard of a sport allowing their players to dictate the disciplinary actions of their players when they cheat. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Like, Tom Brady's the most important quarterback to play the game, and he didn't get to negotiate, you know, what would happen during Deflategate, because that's how a sport should be run by a commissioner.
Correct, but when you have to get Jonathan Hood to tell you honestly what went on, and he says, I'm not talking without immunity, what are you going to do?
Then you're going to investigate, and if you don't find anything, then you come out with the findings that you have. But, you know, you don't make plea deals with players who are cheating, especially to a championship. All I'm saying is this game, at this point, with the history that it has, and Rob Manfred with the history that he has, I can't take him seriously at all. Mm-hmm. So when he comes out and he says, we're going to punish pitchers, well, he didn't say it, but when the league comes out and says, we're going to punish pitchers, this is bad for the game, I'm sorry, but you know, this isn't bad for the game. What's bad for the game is the last 20 years. What's bad for the game is Rob Manfred. That's what's bad for the game. It's not spider tack or whatever is causing more spin on a curveball. Give me a break. I mean, like, it depends on who you talk to, I guess. If fans want to see a ball go out of the ballpark, then fine. If fans want to see a no-hitter, from their perspective, spider tack's probably pretty good. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, to me, the whole thing is just another big joke under Rob Manfred.
Well, I don't disagree with you. Appreciate you. I think that's one of our most insightful calls we've gotten in a while.
Well, I mean, because Mark's right. And Rob Manfred, if you think Rob Manfred, if you think Gary Bettman's bad, there's Manfred saying, hold my beer. I mean, Bettman was a guy that's been beaten up for a long time in the National Hockey League based on how he runs things. But just think about Manfred. I sent you the sound from David Sampson,
mm-hmm.
which you have not heard.
I did listen.
No response, though. I said, David Sampson, who was a front office guy with the Marlins.
Correct. He was actually the son-in-law for a while of the owner, too.
So you think about this, right? Manfred wasn't even – Reinsdorf did not want Manfred to
Correct.
Be the commissioner.
Correct.
You heard that story, right?
Correct.
So would you
– So David Sampson is just so out there.
Yes, he
and
is.
And so bizarre. This is a guy who, when they built the new stadium in Florida,
yeah.
he's no longer involved.
Right.
He got divorced from the owner's daughter. They forced him out of the organization, and then they sold.
Mm-hmm.
David Sampson wanted to have strippers dancing around the right and left field foul pole.
Yes.
He said, we'll make them wear Marlins outfits. Yes. This is the type of gentleman. David Sampson, though, I think deep down knew there were problems in Major League Baseball going way, way back before Rob Manfred was ever made the commissioner.
However, Manfred pushed for the commissioner to be in place right now.
Correct.
Manfred, because Reinsdorf did not want that.
Correct.
He has
Bud Selig wanted him to be there.
Right.
Correct.
See, Bud Selig, what's the lasting image of Bud Selig? Him shrugging his shoulders, right? The All-Star Game tie. Don't know. It's a history of ineptness.
Baseball is still popular, but not popular like it once was. And I would just like for baseball to have a better face. A better face moving forward. It's not for you and I, Cap. It's already in our veins.
Well, they got us.
They got us at an early age.
Correct.
But I'm talking about for the foreseeable future. Like, baseball should be on the same level as college football.
Correct.
And it's not. Even MMA is moving its way up, even though that's, for some people, that's niche. There's still a crowd, and there is still a fervor for it. Baseball, because of the length and because of the way it's run, it's a turnoff for some people. It's got to be fixed.
It has to, but it can't be fixed with him in charge.
I agree.
312-332-3776, by the way, hoodwinked, which we got right, presented by Lou Malnati's The Passion Runs Deep.
So good.
LOUTOGO.com, Lutogo.com. Bears are getting one of their stars back today. That's right. We'll discuss it next. Delicious.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Rolling on, Cap J Hood, ESPN 1000. We'll talk to Albert Breer at 8. Shot no shots at 8:35. And our guy, Anthony Rizzo, who hit an upper deck shot in New York yesterday in the Cubs 5-2 loss at 9:35. 312-332-3776. So Allen Robinson showed up at Halas Hall yesterday. Had to go through some different intake things. He's got a month to sign his franchise tender. Would you give him a monster deal, Hoodie?
Well, I need to find out what free agency looks like for next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can I get an asset that can be more productive, as productive or more productive than Robinson, but a younger asset? That's my question.
So
Michael Irvin was just on recently on the Levitard show, and they were asking him, they said, hey, you know what? Is there a wide receiver that's unsung? Someone that doesn't get enough acclaim but really gets the job done? And Michael Irvin said, Allen Robinson. And so to me, Allen Robinson, as I've told you last year and I feel this way now, Robinson's a top 10 receiver in the league. And so here's the question. Are you able to get the best out of him now with a new quarterback? And that very well could be Justin Fields. It could be Andy Dalton. Will he give you the same production or more? Because you're looking for more at that spot if you can, right?
You are looking for more, obviously, at that spot.
Sure.
To get Allen Robinson. Like, if I'm him, why would he be upset with the contract he has right now? He's getting $19 million all guaranteed, and they probably will not tag him a second time because the cost would be prohibitive.
If they offered you $19 million, you'd say, why am I not worth $20? That's just human nature. Right? I just human. Don't look at it from a football player standpoint. That's just anybody. You see, the team will tell you what you're worth when you feel like you're worth more.
Okay,
That's like being in this position right now. You believe, and I believe, that we're worth more than what we're given.
Right.
Right?
Because if you don't, you shouldn't be in the job.
Same thing with Allen Robinson. Just perspective.
True.
That's all.
Okay, so here's the free agent class for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Allen Robinson, obviously, he's 29 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Godwin, he's 26 years of age from Tampa. Very good player.
Probably would take Robinson.
Devontae Adams.
Well, that's a different story right there.
He's 30.
Yeah.
But he's a much better player.
Absolutely.
And that's not a shot at Robinson. That's high praise, from my seat at least.
That's correct.
I don't want to speak for you.
I agree with you.
Will Fuller, who's 28. Robbie Anderson, who's 29. Jamison Crowder, who's 29. T.Y. Hilton, who's 33. Juju Smith-Schuster, who's 26.
And does a great podcast.
Okay. And the other guys, Emmanuel Sanders, old, 35. A.J. Green, 34. Sammy Watkins is nowhere near the player Allen Robinson is.
You've been on that podcast with Schuster, though, haven't you?
I do David's podcast. I think they're brothers. Yeah. David, the David Schuster podcast. A guy like Sammy Watkins, remember the Bears tried to sign him?
Yes.
He ended up in Kansas City, and now he's in Baltimore. He's just been one of those, I think he was the guy Buffalo originally traded up in the draft to get. I
believe that's correct.
And just never quite hit the level everyone thought he would. So there's good players in free agency next year. Antonio Brown, Albert Wilson, Breshad Perriman. But at the top of the heap, Allen Robinson, other than Davante Adams and potentially Chris Godwin, he's top three.
Yeah, I think that you gave the top three right there. And Allen Robinson for any team would be a difference maker. Would be a difference maker for this team if they could get him the ball. This season will tell a great story, won't it?
Like
he could sign whatever, but like this season could be the Justin Fields story or the Andy Dalton story.
So they give you on SpotTrack the contracts, and they tell you market value, what Allen Robinson's market value should be.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fine. Sorry about that. 4 years, $80.2 million. Average salary of $20.052.
That's about right. That's in the ballpark. You're not going to parse over a million. You like to make that 20, but say, the as you mentioned, the Bears offer 18. Fine. Let's go.
Would you sign it if you were him?
Sure. Sure. I wonder if there's bonuses attached to that, too, or is that just – I know that's not a flat fee. It's got to be a certain amount of catches, touchdowns. I'm sure that's written in as well. There's escalators, I'm sure, in that deal, right?
Yeah, they don't tell you. They just tell you his market value is a $20 million salary every year.
Sure. Sure, that's fine.
And he's a really, really good player. Doesn't
Absolutely.
Have breakaway speed. He's not the Tyreek Hill.
Right.
That's a different level player.
That's correct.
Michael Thomas, different level player. But is he really, really freaking good? Yes.
And we wouldn't know it in the Bears uniform, but yes, I believe that he is.
Well, that's the other thing. Go look. I was looking at the break at his numbers.
Yeah.
Like, he's got really impactful numbers.
Mm-hmm.
His quarterbacks were Mitchell Trubisky, Nick Foles, and Blake Bortles.
What are you going to do?
So he might say to you, you don't think I'm worth $20 million a year? Do you know the stumble bumps who've been thrown to me? And I haven't had, like what Jerry Rice had John Taylor on the other side, mm-hmm. or Lynn Swann had John Stallworth. Mm-hmm. Or you can go through all these different really, really good offensive teams. He's like, who have I had?
Right.
Till Darnell Mooney showed up in the fifth round, nobody.
And hopefully with this offense, especially if Fields is there, he could be able to connect to Robinson a lot more. I mean, this is where the league is, man. You're an offensive league. Get a wide receiver that's a threat. And if he's double-teamed, there's Mooney underneath. There's Komet underneath. I just want this offense to percolate, man. If Robinson's the tip of the spear, I'm totally good with that. I'd love to see that for him.
So he has not missed a game, Allen Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, of the top five guys they list here, Michael Thomas, Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, Tyreek Hill, Allen Robinson. Thomas, Allen, and Robinson are the three of that group that played every game.
Also, I just want to point out that he'd have every reason to complain if he wanted to, but Robinson's said nothing. A model citizen as far as him in his dealings with the community in Chicago, but if anyone had a reason to bitch, it would be him, if he wanted to.
No question.
They're not giving me the ball. Why are they throwing it underneath? How come I'm not part of the offense? I get lost in the sauce in this offense. He could say it because usually that's the position that would complain, doesn't complain.
A couple of other notable stats about Allen Robinson. Passes dropped. He's the lowest of those five guys.
He's got to get it to drop it.
Now, what is a negative? Yards after the catch. He's the lowest.
They throw underneath.
They do, and he's not blessed with, oh, my God, speed.
Right.
Like, good speed, but not insane speed.
Are you calling him Marty Booker?
I wonder if he's a better player than Marty Booker, but they run, like, the same, right?
Right, same speed.
They're about the same, I think.
How dare you call him Marty Booker?
Yards after the catch, it's not close Allen Robinson, 2.9. Tyreek Hill, 6. That's the big difference right there. But 17, 18 million, I think the Bears would do that.
Sure.
I think they would.
Sure.
All right, Albert Breer from SI.com. We'll talk Bears and more around the NFL. 2 minutes.